The South African energy crisis escalated this week as Eskom implemented stage 6 load shedding in the early hours of Sunday morning. The utility is struggling to meet electricity demand, and rolling blackouts were once again the order of the day. In July, President Cyril Ramaphosa announced government interventions to stabilize electricity supply, but it's clear South Africans are going to need patience before this happens. I'm Catherine Rice, a journalist for News 24's multimedia department, and you're listening to The Story, where we talk to journalists about the biggest story of the week. This week, we're talking to investigative journalist for News 24, Kyle Cowan, and later we'll talk to News 24 financial journalist, Carol Payton. Kyle, thank you for your time. Kyle, the last time we had stage 6 load shedding was in June. Did you expect this to happen so soon after that round? Why is it back?
No, I didn't expect it to be back now, particularly in summer. You know, in summer, South Africa doesn't need as much electricity. And usually what happens when the weather starts to get warmer is that Eskom takes this big breath of relief and they start fixing units. They start taking more and more of their generating units out of service to do maintenance that they weren't able to do during the winter months because of how constrained the system is. And to explain what I mean by constrained, by constraints, is it's very simple. South Africa had a peak demand for electricity on Sunday, the 18th of September, of 26,000 megawatts, and Eskom was only able to produce around about 20,000 megawatts. In winter, that peak demand is about 33,000 on very cold winter nights when we all switch on our heaters at the same time. And because Eskom knows that in winter a lot more electricity is used, they don't fix units as much in winter. They let them run and they let them carry on because they don't want to, you know, have massive amounts of load shedding during winter. So in the summer, you don't expect this, but it has happened now. And the reason for it is very simple. Between the 3rd and the 18th of September, Eskom experienced 99 breakdowns or unit trips at, you know, across its power stations around the country. To give you an idea of contextually what that means, in 2017, 2016, which was allegedly a good year for Eskom, across its entire fleet for the entire year, it only had 340 odd unit trips and breakdowns. So Eskom has had a really terrible September. The first 2 weeks of this month have been really bad. And the result of all of these breakdowns is obviously, you know, Eskom fixes a breakdown as it goes along, as it can. And they weren't able to fix all of those breakdowns very quickly because some of them were quite serious. And that resulted in stage 6 load shedding and now still stage 5 load shedding, you know, prevailing.
On Sunday, the Eskom CEO, André de Ruyter, held a media briefing and said there is a risk that load shedding could move past stage 6. What would that mean? What would stage 8 look like?
So for us, as you know, if you're sitting in your house and your power's off right now while you're listening to this, you know, in Johannesburg, for example, we have, during stage 6 load shedding, we have two blocks of 2.5 hours and then one block of 4 hours that our power is off every single day. So it's, you know, 10 hours without electricity every day. Stage 8 looks much similar, except there's an additional 2 hours added to each of those blocks. So you'll be without power for 12 to 14 hours a day. This is sort of the last crisis point for Eskom. If stage 8 load shedding is implemented, they don't have plans for stages beyond stage 8. There's literally nothing on paper that is called stage 9, 10, 11, or 12. But what de Ruyter said that made me even more worried about, you know, the possibility of stage 8 load shedding has existed for years now. What he said that really worried me was that not only were we on stage 6, but because of our emergency reserves. Now, the emergency reserves are diesel powered open cycle gas turbines called Gariko and Ankerlich. One is near Mossel Bay and the other is near Cape Town. And then we have two very big pumped storage schemes called Ingula and Drakensberg. Now, the pumped storage schemes use water to generate electricity. You know, the water runs from an upper to a lower dam and the flow of the water generates electricity. They use those in peak periods to sort of like try and, you know, stave off the worst levels of load shedding or to prevent load shedding altogether if they can. And what he said was that 6,000 megawatt, this is these emergency reserves, the pumped storage and the diesel turbines, is 6,000 megawatt. That's 6 stages of load shedding, you know, give or take. what he said is that if those reserves are not available, it's stage 12 load shedding in effect. Imagine that. Then you're looking at more than 14 hours a day without electricity every single day at your home or your business. The impact on the economy would be massive and disastrous. It would be catastrophic, to use the word that was bandied about by some Eskom people. It's almost unimaginable.
But Carl, is there a possibility of a grid collapse? And if that were to happen, how long would it take to restore electricity?
So this is always the concern. When you're sitting without power for so many hours, and you know, it happens quite often in Joburg when they switch the power back on again, you know, a substation trips or there's a cable that's been stolen or something like that, and you always fear the worst. You always think, oh dear, you know, what if a section of the grid completely collapses? But what the listeners have to bear in mind is that load shedding is implemented to prevent system collapse. Think about it this way. An electricity grid runs at a certain frequency, 50 hertz. And if you place more demand on that grid than there is actually electricity being fed into it, that's when your grid will collapse. That's when everything will stop working, and power stations and the components of those power stations will probably suffer immense and severe damage that would take weeks, if not months, to repair. So load shedding is implemented to prevent that overload, to prevent that collapse, because Eskom knows, down to, you know, a couple of megawatt usually, they can predict very, very well how much electricity is going to be needed today, tomorrow, next week. They have it so mapped out, and you know, the system operator, the office of the system operator, have some really, really clever people that can actually tell you down to the hour, you know, next week, how much power they think is going to be used, and they're usually very, very accurate. So while load shedding is massively inconvenient and causes massive damage to the economy and cost to the economy, we as South Africans must realize that yes, it's not nice, but it's Eskom saving us from even bigger trouble. And we should be alarmed every time there's load shedding, because it means that effectively our system is so broken that Eskom is having to take these drastic, drastic steps to prevent a complete blackout.
I mean, Carl, you've written about, you know, how Eskom was once sort of hailed as this top, you know, electricity supplier. Tell me about that. I mean, there's sort of the history of Eskom. It really has fallen quite far, and the damage to the economy it's done has been quite severe. So what has happened? Why are we in this position?
So this is a very complex question, but I'll try and explain it in you know, broad sweep. So in 2001, Eskom was voted at the Financial Times Global, you know, Awards in New York as the best power utility in the world, and this was voted by its peers, by other power companies also from all over the world. And arguably, Eskom was doing a very, very good job back then. But the writing was already on the wall. And the reason why I say this is very simple. In 1998, on the 2nd of December 1998 to be exact, the South African cabinet approved a white paper on energy that said that we need to make an investment decision. So, i.e., we need to make a decision to spend a lot of money on building new generation capacity, i.e. new power stations, by the very next year, by 1999, because our projections show that by 2007, with electricity demand growing by 4% every year, we will run out of generation capacity. And of course, what happened was the ANC government at the time delayed for almost 6 years in making that decision. The decision was only actually taken to start building new capacity around 2004, 2005, and then the final business case, you know, the actual documentation drawn up around how much it's going to cost, how are they going to build, what are they going to build, was only finalized in mid-2007. So then, of course, what happens is the first load shedding hits South Africa, and former President Thabo Mbeki, in December of 2007, at a fundraising dinner in Bloemfontein, actually stands up and says, you know, we should have listened to Eskom. I'm sorry. When Eskom told us we need to build more power stations, we said to them, not now, later, because you are actually only going to build surplus capacity. The reason why Eskom was saying 4% a year growth was because of, you know, South Africa's history, as everyone knows, has this massive, you know, problem with apartheid. And during apartheid, massive amounts of South Africans were excluded from the electricity grid completely, simply because they were not white and not living in the suburbs of some towns and cities. And the ANC, when it came to power, recognized that as a basic human right, everyone deserves access to electricity. So something like 2.5 million households were connected to the grid, or, you know, in 1998, they were estimating 2.5 million was going to be connected to the grid in the next couple of years. And this is what created this, you know, massive growth in electricity demand. Yes, it needed to be done. It had to happen. No one is questioning that. The problem is that the ANC didn't make a decision to build the new power stations. So what is the effect of that? You know, you wait 8 years to finally start commissioning new power stations. So, of course, that's where Medupi and Kusile and Ngula, the one-pump storage scheme that I was talking about earlier, as well as Gariko and Ankerlich, the two diesel turbines, that's where those power stations are born. And Gariko and Ankerlich are built within record time, within 2 years. And great, now South Africa has about 2,000 megawatts of emergency generation capacity, but it costs an enormous amount of money to run these open cycle gas turbines because they burn diesel fuel. To give you an idea, in the first 5 months of this current financial year, Eskom has spent almost 8 billion rand on diesel at these open cycle gas turbines. So these power stations are born, and they're due to be completed by 2015, 2016 and bring massive amounts of power onto the grid, but that doesn't happen. Of course, we all know Medupi and Kusile are massively delayed, and costs are almost double at 300 billion rand, and there's corruption left, right, and center, and it just causes, you know, these two power stations that were supposed to save the country's, you know, energy crisis turn out to be not that. They're not our savior. They are just another blot on, you know, on Eskom's history. And yes, they are running now, but they're not running how they're supposed to run, because that delay in making the decision to build these power stations means that the design period was too short. So there were defects in the designs. So when these things were eventually built, they figured out, oh no, the boilers are too short. They're getting too hot at the top. We have to fix this. And they had to retrospectively go and fix a bunch of boilers that had already been built, and with Kusile, which is still not yet complete, those boilers will be built, you know, to the new specifications. But this is how this happens. And then because you're sitting with a situation where you don't have enough capacity to actually meet energy demand, your existing infrastructure, your coal-fired power stations specifically, most of which were built in the 1970s and 1980s, they're getting quite old now, are running extremely, extremely hard. You are pushing them far beyond in what, you know, the chief operations officer of Eskom, Jan Oberdorser, calls their design parameters. You are running them much, much harder than what other units around the world are being pushed just to meet demand and prevent load shedding. And with these highly technical machines, what happens is over many, many years that they start to develop unreliability traits. They become unreliable. They break down all the time. And that is exactly where we find ourselves now. These units were pushed too hard for too long due to political decisions, due to bad policy decisions, and we are now reaping the benefit of that. We as a country are now facing, you know, a situation where our power stations can barely be switched on sometimes without breaking down immediately again.
South Africans have had enough now. People are angry. And some people think sabotage could be a factor contributing to load shedding. What do you think about that?
So I've written a book with the title of Sabotage. So I believe completely that sabotage at Eskom is real. However, in this case, there isn't any evidence that there was, you know, and when I say this case, I mean the load shedding that we're having right now. There isn't any empirical evidence to show that there was some level of sabotage behind, you know, these units breaking down. And in fact, you know, in speaking about my book, I have repeatedly said that I think one of the greatest acts of sabotage against Eskom has been the ANC's bad policy decisions and the way that they have, you know, sent people to manage the utility. For example, during the 2010 Soccer World Cup, you know, just before the World Cup, there was this policy introduced of keep the lights on. And it appears that Eskom did just that. They kept the lights on at a massive cost to reliable energy supply today. And this is the kind of thing, when you think about sabotage, we shouldn't always think about, you know, someone throwing a bolt into a nuclear reactor, for example, or cutting down a pylon to make sure that load shedding gets worse. Sometimes the sabotage is in the boardroom or in, you know, the halls of power, and people not thinking about what Eskom needs to survive in the future.
Thank you so much for your time and for those insights. That was Kyle Cowan, Senior Investigative Journalist for News 24. We're now joined by News 24's Financial Specialist Journalist, Carol Payton. Carol, the President announced a raft of interventions in July. What are they and how close are we to achieving them?
Well, there are really two categories of interventions. The one is to fix Eskom, to take measures to fix Eskom, and the other is to get more megawatts onto the grid as fast as possible. So when it comes to fixing Eskom, one of the things they say they've done is they have recruited some old staff, because we know Eskom doesn't have enough skills. So they have managed to do that, and they've got 18 managers, artisans in the power plants helping to mentor people. But when it comes to actually fixing the EAF, the energy availability factor, I think we're in for a very, very long haul. And it was quite interesting when Eskom did their price application update this week. Whereas before, they said, a year ago, they said, well, we think we'll have 72% of our plants running most of the time. They've now said, well, we're anticipating that will be 59%. So fixing Eskom is a very, very long way off. And I think there are increasing doubts as to the extent to which it can be fixed, or whether it's just a case of managing its decline.
That's the thing. We've been experiencing load shedding now for, I think it's 12 years already. South Africans are going to have to acquire patience, but how many years are we looking at for there to be some sort of light at the end of the tunnel?
I think we're looking at at least 2 years for reduced load shedding. So 2 years, because there are some procurements in the pipeline. There are new solar plants being built. There are new wind farms being built by the private sector and by private producers. So it'll be about 2 years before we start to feel the benefit of those. And that will not be enough, though, to end load shedding. So I think that, maybe, and this depends that everybody gets everything right and everybody does what they're supposed to do. So to date, we found government, taking an incredibly long time to do anything. So, I would say if we're talking about a shortage of 4,000 to 6,000 megawatts, we are talking probably to end load shedding completely 4 years, provided that everyone does everything they're supposed to do and does it on time.
Carol, Eskom's applied to the energy regulator, NERSA, to hike tariffs by 32% from April next year. This has, of course, added a lot of fuel to the outrage of South Africans. How likely is that increase to happen?
I really don't think they'll get 32%. They seldom get what they ask for. So if you remember, I think for the last year, starting sort of 1st of April and 1st of July for municipalities, this year they asked for 20.5% and they got 9.6%. So basically what happens is NERSA looks at all of the things they say that they're anticipating spending money on, and decides whether is this justifiable, is this fair, is this rational, is this, not wastage, and then they decide. So I definitely don't think they'll get 32%, but I think we're looking at a high 10 minimum 10%, I'd say.
What is this doing to the economy? I mean, just how bad is the damage?
Well, it's destroying the economy. It's destroying economic growth. It's putting people out of business. It's making business so much more expensive to do, which threatens the sustainability of businesses. I think the estimate is that at the moment, I think for every stage of load shedding, it costs the economy 500 million. That's what is lost to the GDP in terms of production and so on. So we're losing billions. The GDP is being shaved off by billions every day as we go through this very intense period of load shedding. And then, of course, economies, their population is growing, And so economies need to grow, and they need to, you know, they need to meet the needs of the population, especially as far as employment goes. And that is just simply not happening, because you're not going to come and set up a business, even a small business. You're going to think twice about doing that when you don't have a secure electricity supply. But very particularly for a big business like a mine or some sort of industry, the electricity constraint is huge. It's a huge dampener on investment.
We're certainly in for a rough ride, and thank you for your reporting on this. Carol Payton, News 24 specialist finance journalist. That's all we have time for this week. I'm Catherine Rice. Join us again next week for The Story.